Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the full-service law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients across the country. If you'd like to know more about OFP, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. I also invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where you can find videos, audio, and articles of interest on tax, estate planning, and business planning on pretty much anything you want to hear about in those areas. And also, please read my column in the Washington Business Journal, which appears usually the first or second week of every month in the Washington Business Journal, entitled Blueprint for Wealth. Today, we're going to be talking about a tax issue that is near and dear to many of your hearts. It's when can you claim a deduction for the business use of your home, including if you have a daycare practice in your home. Now, generally, the rule is that you cannot deduct items that are related to the business use of your home unless you use it exclusively and regularly as your principal place of business. We'll talk about that in a second. Now, there's an alternative test. If you don't use it exclusively and regularly as your principal place of business, your home or a part of your home could be deductible if you use it exclusively and regularly as a place where you meet clients or customers or patients. And that's an important part of the test, but you also have to use it in a trade or business. Now, if you have a separate structure attached to your home or not attached to your home, and you use it in connection with your trade or business, like a machine shop for doing automobile repair or something like that, then that also may qualify for a deduction for home office expenditure. Another test is if you use that home office on a regular basis for certain storage use, like storing inventory or product samples, you might be able to claim a deduction for the use of that space for business purposes. Rental use is also deductible under certain circumstances, and then you can also deduct a portion of your home that you use as a daycare facility under certain circumstances. Now, if you're an employee, they apply additional tests in addition to the exclusive and regular use in as a principal place of business. You may be able to deduct the use of your home if you're an employee, if the business use of that portion of your home is for the convenience of your employer. You also cannot rent any part of your home to your employer and use the rented portion to perform services as an employee for that employer. So you can't rent it, but you may be able to claim a deduction. Now, what is exclusive use? Well, the word exclusive means only for that specific purpose. So to qualify under the exclusive use test, you have to use a specific area of your home only for your trade or business. That means you can't have your kids come and join you and watch TV in that particular area. Let's say you're an attorney and you use a den in your house to write legal briefs or prepare clients' tax returns or draft wills and trusts. Your family also uses the den for recreation, like they come in and they watch TV with you while you're doing your wills and trusts or preparing your tax returns. In that case, the den is not being used exclusively in your trade or business, so you can't claim a deduction for the business use of the den. Now, there are exceptions to this exclusive use test. You don't have to meet that test if you use part of your home for storing inventory or product samples, like I mentioned before. That's a different category under which you can qualify for deduction. So if you're using a space for storing inventory or product samples, it doesn't have to be used exclusively for that. Or if you use the home as a daycare facility, you may be able to get out from under this exclusive use test. Now, I also said that you have to use it exclusively and regularly. Well, to qualify for regular use, you must use that specific area of your home, your den, your home office, whatever portion you're using, for business on a regular basis. That means that incidental or occasional business use won't qualify. It also has to be used in a trade or business. So that means that you have to use part of your home in connection with a trade or business. Let's say you use part of your home exclusively and regularly to read financial newsletters and periodicals and reports. And let's say you're also using it to clip bond coupons and carrying out similar investment activities. You don't make investments as a broker or dealer. You're just doing investment activity. So under the IRS rules, your activities are not part of a trade or business. Rather, it's investment activity. And you simply cannot claim a deduction for using your home office as a business use of your home. Now, earlier I was describing exclusively and regularly using that space in the as a principal place of business. Well, what is a principal place of business? Now, you might have more than one business location, including your home, used in your trade or business. But to qualify to deduct the expenses for the business use of your home under this principal place of business test, your home has to be your principal place of business for that trade or business. To determine whether it is your principal place of business, you have to consider the following. One, what's the relative importance of the activity that you perform at each place where you conduct your business? And two, what's the amount of time that you spend at each place where you're conducting business? Your home office will qualify as a principal place of business if you meet the following requirements. You use it exclusively and regularly for administrative or management activities, or you have no other fixed location where you conduct these substantial administrative or administrative activities. What are these activities? Billing your customers, your clients, or your patients. Keeping books and records. Ordering supplies. Setting up appointments. And forwarding orders or writing reports. If you perform administrative or management activities at other locations, these activities won't disqualify your home office from being used as your principal place of business. Will not disqualify it. So, in other words, doing these activities is okay, and still you may be able to qualify your home office use as business use. So, for example, you have others that conduct your administrative or administrative management activities at locations other than your home. So another company does your billing from its place of business. Or you conduct administrative or management activities at places that are not fixed locations of your business, such as in a car or a hotel room. Or you occasionally conduct minimal administrative or management activities outside of your home. Those are examples of administrative activities that are okay. Let me give you some more examples. Let's say John is a plumber and he's self-employed. Most of John's time is spent in customers' homes and offices installing and repairing plumbing. He has a small office in his home that he uses exclusively and regularly for his administrative or management activities, such as billing or phoning customers or keeping appointments. John writes up estimates and records work completed at his customer's premises. He doesn't conduct any substantial administrative or management activities anywhere outside of his home, and he doesn't do his own billing in this case. He uses a local bookkeeper. John's home office will qualify as his principal place of business for deducting expenses for its use. He uses the home office for his administrative and management activities, and even though he's doing the billing outside the home, he's using a third party to do that. His choice of doing the billing by a third party doesn't disqualify his home office from being a home office for tax purposes. Here's another example. Let's say Pam is a self-employed sales rep for several different product lines, and she has an office in her home that she uses exclusively and regularly to set up appointments and write up orders and other reports for companies that she sells the products for. She occasionally writes up orders and sets up appointments from her hotel room when she's on the road making sales calls. Pam's business is selling products to customers all across the country. To make these sales, she regularly has to make visits to the customer to explain the products and take orders. Her home office, in this case, will qualify as her principal place of business for deducting expenses for its use. She conducts administrative or management activities there and has no other place where she conducts these activities. The fact that she's actually taking orders on the road or doing some other administrative activities in her hotel room does not disqualify her home office from being used as her principal place of business. Did you know that you can have more than one trade or business? Let's say you're an employee. Let's say you're a teacher, and your principal place of work is at school, where you have an office to do your schoolwork. But let's say you also have a mail-order jewelry business that you do exclusively in your home office, and that office is used exclusively for that business, not for doing schoolwork at school. If you meet all the other tests, you may be able to deduct expenses for the business use of your home for your jewelry business. Now, these rules are much more complex because even after you get past the test of determining whether your home office may qualify for deductibility, you have to go through a series of other tests to determine whether or not your expenses are in fact deductible. If you've got questions on the deductibility of your home office, give us a call at 703-218-2100. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth. And don't forget to subscribe to our blog at blueprintforwealth.org.